Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you, beloved. God bless you. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I am so glad to have you here with us today. And of course, you know that this is the day that the Lord has made, so we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Our co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes, is away for the weekend, so we wish her well. God bless you, beloved, and may the Lord keep you smiling while you are away. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Tamika Shelton. You know she's my love, so I want to say good morning to her, to her mother, Joyce. Good morning, honey. And good morning to Joyce in New York. And good morning to, good morning to Prophetess Dawn, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, Prophet Crawford and his wife. I believe they live in Tennessee now. So good morning to all of you. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. We praise God for him. And you know, I like to remind you to look at, to listen to his show, which is Issues Christian Men Talk. And so we want you to listen to that show and see the messages that are being brought to our brothers, which happens to be our sons, our fathers, our husbands, any males in our life. Definitely good information to for them to get, and for you also, so that you know what's going on with the men. So we praise God for that. So it is another beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. And I know some people are saying, why is that woman saying it's beautiful? You know, because the sun isn't shining as bright as we would like it to shine. But it is okay. It is okay. The fact that we can come together here on the Sabbath day, Saturday morning, and give praise to God and chit-chat with one another, that makes it a good enough day for me. So I pray that you will be blessed throughout the rest of this day, that you will be blessed. And not only be blessed, but that you will also be a blessing to someone else. That's right. That's what I want to see you do. Be a blessing to someone. You know, in our church, we say the circle of blessings. And we thank God for it, you know, because he blesses us, then we can bless someone else, and then they can bless someone else. So we love the circle of blessings. So have an awesome day. Have an awesome, awesome day in the Lord. Don't let things get you down. That's right. Don't let them get you down. Well, anyway, huns, I am excited, of course, so very excited about the day. Today we're going to be discussing bitterness, the seven different principalities that are connected to bitterness. That's what we're going to be discussing today. So first, let us open in prayer, and as God leads us, you know, we will go accordingly. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we do thank you, we honor you, we bless you, we magnify your holy name, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and no one but you, Lord God, can do us the way that you do. I thank you for this awesome day. I thank you so much, Lord God, for giving us another opportunity to realize how great you are, another opportunity to praise your holy name and to worship you, Lord God, another opportunity to be able to complete the assignment that you have given us, Father. For this we do say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I bless your holy name for each person that is on these lines, those that have called in, those that are listening on their computer. Lord, bless them. You know the needs of your people, Lord God. So those that need salvation, salvation is available to you. Restoration, reconciliation, healing, deliverance, all of these things have been made available to you. And there's no time like this time to get it. For today, you could have those things if you accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was done on Calvary for you and me. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you once again that you make a way of escape for us all, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're our provider. You see to it that we have food, clothing, and shelter, Lord God. I thank you that all of the other needs that we have, that if we're seeking you first, Father, your word says that these things shall be added unto us. And you are not a man that you should lie. And your word would never return unto you void. So again, I thank you, Lord God. And it is because your grace and your mercy that you extend to us each and every day is following me, Lord God. It's got my back. And again, I say thank you. When I think of all of the times I can say thank you, Lord God, I am so grateful for what you are doing, not only for me, but for my family, my church family, for the citizens here in the community that I live in the city that I live in the state and the country that I live in. Father, I thank you. I thank you so very much. May your will be done here on this show today as it is in heaven. May someone hear something that gives them a spirit of hope. May they hear something, O God, that causes them to hunger and thirst after you. May they hear something, Lord God, to let them know that deliverance is theirs, that we cannot walk in bitterness, Lord, and expect to reap the benefits of knowing you. So, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, that your will be done. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen. All right, everybody. All right, all right, all right. And, yes, I want to say good morning to my apostle, Apostle Reggie Wilson. I see that he has joined us this morning. Good morning, beloved, to you and your beautiful wife. God bless you both. I thank God for you. I thank you for sowing into my life spiritually and in the natural realm. You've been such a blessing to us. So I do thank God for you. Praise be unto God. And remember, saints, as we're going through what we're going to talk about today, if there's a comment you wish to make, if you wish to ask a question, I don't promise to have all the answers, but the Holy Ghost does. So if you want to make a comment, you may press 1 on your keypad, and I will see that you're there, and we will definitely receive your question or your comment. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning also to Nene and her aunt. I praise God for you. And I, again, listen, beloveds, I want you to understand something. I do take the time to say good morning, you know, to those especially that are regulars on our show. I do take the time because no matter what, this show is not the best it could be if you're not here. Your being here, you receiving the information that God has graced us with, you walking in what it is that you receive, that's what's important. And asking questions and talking back to me, all of these things is what makes the show the show. So you are a vital part of this show. This is why it is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Praise be unto God. All righty, let's go ahead and jump into our lesson for today. We're talking about the kingdom of bitterness, and this is coming from Henry W. Wright. His ministry, Be in Health. Be in Health. He speaks about how the different spirits causes us to have different sicknesses and illness and so forth. And it's excellent. He has a book, A More Excellent Way. That's one of my favorite books. And you can look in the book, you can find the dis-ease, you know, that's what disease spells out. It's dis, D-I-S, then ease. We should be living in ease physically, but because of the spirits that contaminate us, we live in dis-ease, which brings about disease. And when we look in the book A More Excellent Way, we can find out, looking up our illnesses, what spirits are attached to those illnesses, and then we can do what's necessary to repent and get rid of or delivered from those demonic spirits that have attached itself to us and causing us not to walk in the fullness of God's glory. So I encourage you all to get the book, A More Excellent Way. And you've heard me speak about this book years ago. I don't know if you remember, but I'm bringing it back to you today. So, okay, we're talking about bitterness today. And a lot of people, you know, are dealing with bitterness. There's a lot of hurt, things that have gone on in their lives and caused them to be bitter. And many of us are unaware of the fact that when we are attacked by certain spirits, that these spirits do not come alone. They don't come alone. When we're dealing with bitterness, bitterness is the main block to healing, and it prevents the work of God in your life. People are bitter towards someone close to them, and most likely the people that we're bitter to are those the closest to us. Someone that is supposed to love us and take care of us, walk in peace with us, and something has gone wrong, and we become very bitter about this. And when we do, we're taking on that root of bitterness, and then other things will begin to offend us. And as they do, again, this thing goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And we have to be very, very careful about dealing and operating in the spirit of bitterness. We've got to be very careful. As long as we refuse to forgive someone, then we are bound to the past and to that person. And I want you to really get that. When we don't forgive, when we don't forgive, the person that we will not forgive has control over our life. Now, can you imagine that? Somebody has offended you. They've hurt your feelings. However it is that they do, you feel sorry for yourself. You walk in self-pity. You become a victim. And when you're walking in self-pity, that's the super glue that ties you to the past, and you're stuck there. And every time you hear that person's name, every time you see that person, every time you see something on TV that resembles the act of what pain that this person caused you, when there are family gatherings, if this is a family member, you won't go to it. If so-and-so is going to be there, you can't go to church because so-and-so might be there or a relative of theirs, and you will see them, and that'll remind you of him. I mean, this person has so much control. And how in the world and why in the world would we want to let somebody have that kind of control over our life? You want to be controlled by nobody else and nothing else but the Spirit of God when we relinquish everything and surrender unto him. In Galatians 6 and 12, the word says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Now listen, listen carefully, beloved, listen. Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but when we speak of the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, we are speaking about the hierarchy of the demonic world. We're speaking about demons coming with different levels of power, and the principalities are the highest one, okay? And so this is who we're wrestling against. When we're arguing with our husband, our children, our bosses, whomever it is we have discord with, we are dealing with that person in the flesh. But that person is not your enemy. Your enemy is that spirit that has risen up and attacked you. And you are attacking it back in the physical realm, and you're looking at the natural person, and that's what you're dealing with. And this is why it is so hard for people to get released from that place that they find themselves in. You are battling with the wrong person. We're not wrestling against each other. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against the principalities, the bureaucracy of Satan's kingdom. That's who we're wrestling against. And these spiritual entities come to your mind, and they'll say things like, God is against you, or man is against you. And we believe what we hear in our mind. We begin to believe it. And all this is a temptation to try to get you to turn your back on the provision that Jesus Christ has made for you, and for you not to be the whole person that God has called you to be. And that is something that is something that we must truly, truly be mindful of. I can't tell you how many times that I counsel with people or mentor people, and they are still dealing with hurts. And hear me, honey, please, babies, when I say this. I'm not minimizing your hurt. God knows I've been hurt enough that if anybody can walk around full of bitterness, it's me. I have been hurt enough. So I'm not minimizing your pain. I'm not minimizing your hurt. But once I got the revelation through the Word of God, through the love of God, through the counseling of good, godly people, that I am letting the very person that hurt me, who can't even remember that they hurt me, they don't even remember what they did to me, that person is controlling my life, where I go, what I say, how I feel. Oh, when I got the revelation of that, when I got the revelation that forgiveness does not mean I condone what that person did to me, but it sets me free, oh, you better believe it, honey. I'm going to forgive as quickly as I can, because nobody, I don't want anyone tying up my life. I want to be all that God wants me to be, and I can't be that tied to the mess of the past. So let's go on and let's look at this here. Bitterness can be directed in three ways. bitterness towards other people, like our beloved spouses, our brothers or sisters, our in-laws, our best friend, our pastor. You know, we can have bitterness there. Then there's bitterness that is directed against God, where we blame him for the mess that we're in. And maybe you prayed and asked him to heal your mother or father or sister or brother, your spouse, your child, and the healing was not manifested. Maybe you desire to have a child and you got pregnant and you had a miscarriage and you blame God for it. Maybe that there was money that you needed. You got laid off from your job. You needed money to pay the mortgage. You couldn't get that done. You ended up losing your house in foreclosure, and you blame God. And there's so many things that we blame God for. So that's a place where our bitterness is turned to. And then you can't pray anymore. You know, you can't, because the bitterness has separated you from God. And so now you can't pray. Now you can't be a blessing to anyone. And you just get yourself so tied up in the hurt that it is slowly but surely killing you. We must be mindful of that. The third place that bitterness goes is towards ourselves. Man, I hate myself. I should have done that differently. I should do more. I'm never enough. I try so hard. No matter what I do, no matter how much I volunteer at the church, I just feel like it's not enough. I feel like I need to do more. I try to bless somebody, and I gave them what I had, but I saw the way they looked at me when I gave it to them. I gave them the wrong thing. What am I supposed to do? I'm no good. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. And the list goes on. So we end up hating others. We end up hating God. We end up hating ourselves. Bitterness, that thing will tear you up all the way around. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and 23, through 23, the word says, when a strong man armed keeps his place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come along upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and he divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters. In other words, the Bible is telling us that unless we bind that strong man, unless we bind him, he can take whatever it is he wants from us. He can move into our place. He can live in the place. He can do whatever he wants because he's stronger than us. You know, I remember hearing several men say their attitude is, somebody may beat them up in the street, but you're not coming in my house and whipping my tail. No, sir, you're not going to do that. Now, I may not be able to fight you outside, but I certainly will not let someone come in my house. Now, we wouldn't let the man walk in our house. The same thing is with our spiritual house. These temples are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where he lives. It's within us. And we let these demonic spirits just come on in the house, take over. Holy Spirit doesn't have a way of moving and manipulating and doing what it is that he needs to do in us, because we've given residency over to the evil one. That's who we've given residency to. We must be mindful that truly, 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 the enemy has come, the deceiver, to steal, kill, and destroy. Who do you believe is stronger, God or Satan? Who do you believe is stronger? You know, when I counsel with people and I hear them telling me about all of the things that they're going through. And when I try to encourage them, and they're, no, you just don't understand, Apostle. You just don't get it. And da-da-da-da-da. And I listen to them. And so by the time they get through, I said, so in other words, you believe that Satan is stronger than God. And they, well, no. I said, wait a minute, doesn't the word say greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world? Isn't that what the word tells us? Yes, it does. Well, who is operating in you? Is Satan going to be the one that you have given so much power to that he's the stronger one in your heart, in your mind, in your body? Are you going to agree with the word of God that God is the stronger one? Jesus is the stronger one. You and I are stronger because we have the Holy Spirit working through us. We have the Holy Spirit. Understand that Satan is a defeated foe. Saints of God, please understand that he is a defeated foe. He does not have the power to do the things that we have let him do. See, part of our problem is because of the first sin that was committed, and then therefore all of us now have been born in sin. We were slaves to sin. We have been tied to it. And until we get salvation, we operated in it for however long it took us before we got saved. It became a norm for us. This is the normal way that we think. These are the normal things that I do. This comes first nature or second nature to us. This is how I operate. But when we get saved, when we are reconciled with the Father, then we are being restored back to the original design that Jesus or that God created us with, the original design. And in the original design, truly, 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 we are greater than what Lucifer. We are stronger. The Spirit of God lives within us. He has no power. Jesus went to the cross, and he took all power of death and hell, everything away from him. So why are we so busy in giving Satan glory for what has happened? Listen, love. We've got to recondition our minds. Remember when I said the way we live is second nature to us? You know, we just walk in the way we walked in before we got saved because that's all we knew. But when the word tells us renew our minds, God knew that our minds were jacked up, totally messed up because we were born in sin. And we can't live a holy life with a sinful mind. Let me say that again. We cannot live a holy life with a sinful mind. So therefore, we must renew our minds. Our minds need to be washed and cleansed and restored. And that is all done by the reading of God's word, the reading of it, the hearing of it. Because some people can't read, but they can listen. They can hear the word of God. And none of us have any excuse. The word of God is on the internet for us. It's on tape. It's on CDs. It's on DVDs. You can look at it on TV. You can go to church, get it taught to you. But remember, I always say, again, what the word says, we need to study to show ourselves approved. So even though the man and woman of God is teaching us the word, you need to seek the Holy Spirit to be sure you're getting the truth of the word, and you also listen to the Bible online for yourself. Saints of God, do this so that you can walk in the fullness of God's glory. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. In Jesus' name, this is what we are to do. And if you don't realize how powerful you are because of the Spirit of God living in you, you will live a defeated life for the rest of your life. You will live a defeated life. You know, it's like being hungry. Physically hungry. You're hungry. You want to eat so bad. And your father owns a grocery store. And all you got to do is go in the grocery store, and because your daddy owns it, you don't even have to pay for the food in the store. Go in, "Hi, Dad, how you doing?" You make a bag of food, and you take it home, and you feast. But you'll walk by that store every day and not go in and not get what your father can bless you with because you don't even know that you have a right to it. You don't even know it. And that's just the way it is with the Word of God. If you don't know the rights and the privileges that God has provided for you, how do you know what to seek Him for, what to expect from Him? How do you know? You just don't know. And it's sad. It is so sad. So, beloved, again, I encourage you, get in your Word. Get in a Word church. Get in a Word church. Listen to the man or woman of God who He has assigned to equip you for the kingdom. You were created with purpose. You were created by the one and only God who loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And He does not want you to live in a life of failure. Jesus said, "My success I give to you. My peace I give to you." Not the peace of this world, what man calls success, the success that Jesus says it is. So why not get all there is to get? Get it all. So now let me go back, because I can just get carried away. You know, I love sharing with you because I so want to see us all set free. I want us all to be able to walk in the peace of the Lord, and I want us all to be able to walk in the fullness of God's glory, to have everything that Jesus died for. I don't want any of it to have been in vain. So now let's get back to the strong man of bitterness. The strong man of bitterness. Now, bitterness has 7 pieces of armor to hold him in power. 7 pieces of armor, and those armors are spirits. And I want to tell you what those are, so I definitely hope you got your pen and paper so that you can write down what these spirits are that operate with the spirit of bitterness. And I'm going to try to cover, I may not be able to cover them all today. I'm going to tell you what they all are. I may not cover them all today, and if I don't, we will pick this up again next week. But let's listen first to what the 7 spirits are. The spirits are unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger and wrath, hatred, violence, and murder. These are the spirits that come along with bitterness. These spirits wrestle like a tag team. Any of you look at pro wrestling and where they have the teams together, normally it's 2, maybe 3 people on each team, and the first two opponents get in the ring and they wrestle with one another. And then when that one gets tired or whatever the case may be, he runs to the rope and he tags his partner. The partner comes in and he wrestles with the guy and that's in there. And then that guy goes and he tags his partner. And it's a tag team. When one is defeated, or feel that he's being defeated, or is when it literally defeats you, he tags the next spirit to see how far that spirit can go with you. And each one of them comes along, each one of them, each one, one behind the other, one behind the other. And each spirit is more dangerous and more powerful than the one before it. More dangerous and more powerful. So then when you look at this, you know, you're fighting with an armored spirit, bitterness. And these are his partners that he has here. This is one of the reasons also, saints of God, when the word tells us that we have to put on the full armor of God, because we've got some weapons of warfare too. God didn't allow us or didn't put us in a position where we had to go into a battle, not being armed. You know, we got armor. We have armor, beloved, that we go into battle with. And the thing, another tidbit, even though we're going into battle, being fully armored up, remember, Satan is already defeated. He likes to mess with your mind so that you don't think he's defeated, but he's already defeated. So we're going in to fight a war. We're going in to fight a battle that has already been won. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise right there. Yes, we're fighting a battle that is already won. Tell that demon to get his hands off of you. He has no right and no authority. But anyway, let's get back to this. So the kingdom of bitterness separates you from God, and it carries you into a place where there's bondage and disease and insanity and finally desolation. Understanding this principality and the evil spirits that make up his armor will help prevent this from happening. It will help prevent it. Did you notice that at the top of this list was unforgiveness? Unforgiveness. Did you notice what was at the bottom of this list? Murder. Saints of God, I have watched people walk through these seven steps. Okay. Let me bring it home. I have walked through those seven steps. You say, wait a minute, Apostle. You are still out here. You're not locked up in jail behind bars. So you obviously didn't murder somebody. Darling, in my mind, there was a whole lot of dead bodies laying on the wayside because people had hurt me and I was resentful. I wanted to retaliate. I got angry to the point of hating them. I did not physically take violence out on them, but in my mind, I was violent. In my mind, I murdered some people. Oh, this is before Revelation, before the cross, before the blood of Jesus. But I just want you to understand that I didn't have to physically murder them, but it didn't Jesus tell us that when adultery is concerned, if you look at a woman in the wrong manner, you have committed adultery in your heart. So if we can look at somebody and commit adultery, you best be believed we can be angry enough and full of enough hatred that we are killing people. All because we could not forgive. All because we could not forgive. And so forgiveness said, oh, look, I got her. She won't forgive. And then that thing boils in you, and then you're resenting everything and so forth. Oh, I'm telling you. The word of God, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness will defile others, not just you. As a child, you know, you could have been exposed to someone else's bitterness. Most of us that have been damaged as children, it was an adult normally. or an older sibling, uncle, aunt, you know, whatever the case may be, that they were bitter and they defiled us with their bitterness. The principality in that person wanted to connect with you, and it did or it said something to you that made you a victim. And now there's a spirit on assignment immediately in conjunction with the spirit operating in the other person. So what is the first thing that comes into you when somebody wrongs you? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And that's where it starts. Unforgiveness. Bitterness is a strong man, and the first layer of his armor is unforgiveness. He is banking on the fact that you is ready to forgive, so unforgiveness will pull up voices, sights, sounds, and smells that remind you of what they did to you. This spirit tells you that you're never going to forgive. He is planning to have his place and his habitation in you and rehash what was done to you over and over again. How many of you, you remember our tape recorders? Well, we can do it even with the DVDs now. You know, you got play, pause, fast forward, rewind. So we have those capabilities when we're looking at anything on TV or on our laptops and so forth. Brother man hurt you, uncle, aunt, mother, school teacher, they hurt you. And honey, we have the tendency to hit rewind and we play that scene over and over again. And we'll even pause it. Just hold on a minute. Let me get myself together. We'll pause it, rewind, and then we hit play and let it play over and over again. And needless to say, there is no forgiveness in that picture. No forgiveness. As long as Satan can keep us tied up in this, that would be it. And then we have the tendency to really not want to share our feelings with anyone else. We don't want to tell them what's happened. You know, the person that hurt you so deeply, and you feel shame, you're embarrassed, you're wounded. So you don't want to share your feelings. So nobody is getting to you in order to tell you what it is you should do. So forgiving others, when the word tells us to do that, that's not an option. Well, you can forgive them if you want. It is a command. It is a serious command. God helps us to forgive after we have repented of our bitterness. We must be like Jesus. We must forgive because God has forgiven us, and we have to do that in order for us to have peace of mind, peace of mind. Then the next tagging, I'm tagging someone now, that next tag is going to be the retaliation. That's right, retaliation is much more dangerous than the former spirit. Oh, and I did say, oh, I'm sorry, I missed resentment. Okay, so resentment has come in. I do apologize. Resentment wants you to believe that you never have to forgive them, that you are never going to forget. You won't forget what they did to you, and you're just waiting to get back at them. You're waiting to get back at them. And if you're not the one that's going to get them, you're hoping and praying that someone else takes them out. So that's your retaliation thing. So now once unforgiveness, and then that's your resentment. I'm sorry. That's resentment and retaliation. Y'all forgive me. I'm trying to get so much in here in this time. So the resentment is the place where you don't care for the person. You don't like them. You will never forget what they've done to you. And so you had the unforgiveness and the resentment. And then that third spirit is the bitterness comes from the retaliation. That retaliation sets the stage to begin the elimination of a person in that relationship. Retaliation says, I'm going to get even with you. You're going to pay for what you did. A few years can go by, and you still are saying, I am going to get you. You will not get away with this. You know, there was a bumper sticker years ago. I haven't seen it lately, but years ago, there was a bumper sticker that said, I don't forgive, I get even. Boy, and I remember thinking that, I don't forgive, I get even. And I may not be the one to hurt you, but somebody is going to hurt you because you can't do what you did to me and get away with it. I remember having thoughts like that. I truly do. After retaliation, beloved, comes anger and wrath. The first three, unforgiveness, resentment, and retaliation, those can be hidden. Now, look at this. Hear this carefully. That can be hidden. I could look at you, and I could have aught in my heart against you, and you don't see that. I haven't forgiven you. I can resent you. It's in my heart and in my mind. You don't see that. Retaliation, I can hide that. Because like I'm saying, boy, you're going to get it. Da-da-da-da-da. That's hidden. But anger and wrath, that begins to start showing physically. That's the fourth step. That's midway the point. Now you're going to see the manifestation of the bitterness from the very beginning. Anger starts to show up physically. Anger is a brainstorm that can be seen and felt. It is a heated chemical reaction that wells up in, and it demands exhaust. You have to let it out. Anger suggests to you, I believe that you are mean and horrible, and I'm going to hurt you. However, beloved, you have a choice to allow this anger to manifest in you or not with the help of the Holy Spirit. That spirit of anger is a master at mixing up all of our chemicals at granular levels and to create toxin potions in us. It's a poison to our system. It is the root behind all family splits, all divisions, all breakups of human relationships. Anger is there. Anger is there. And then after we get angry enough, now see in the other three before anger, you know, you're mad and so forth. But now you're angry. Now there's wrath. And after that is manifested, then here comes hatred. Once anger and wrath has gained a foothold, hatred comes into play. Hatred is not only as the root of bitterness, but it is being fueled by your unforgiveness, the resentment, retaliation, anger, and wrath. Now, you see how each one of these, as we go on down to the seventh, as each one, it is that plus the ones above them. So you had bitterness, and there was unforgiveness. Then bitterness and unforgiveness hooks up with, what was it? Hooked up with resentment. And then the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the resentment hooked up with retaliation. And then the four of those hooked up with anger and wrath. So those other ones, they didn't come alone. By the time you get to anger and wrath, you've already walked through those first three rooms. You've already walked through that. You've already been damaged by that. You don't start out in anger. And no one can say how long it will take you to get there. Somebody can go through the three of those things in a day. Somebody else, it may take them months before they go through it. You know, so we can't put that time period on it, but you are walking through the different levels that we're speaking of here. You're walking through each one. So then after, like I said, we get to the anger and that shows itself. A wife that is abused through marriage by her husband tends to turn the table when he's elderly and infirm and vice versa. But she ends up being more ensnared by her hatred than he did by his abuse. Isn't that something? That is amazing that when people have hurt us, you know, here, this example with husband and wife, that he has hurt this woman and she has stayed in the marriage and, you know, and hatred is building up all the time. And then when he gets old and feeble, she's still got some strength and some spunk in her, then she now can turn the tables and get back at him. You know, and people will wait. Thank you, Holy Spirit. People will wait as long as they have to when they're dealing with retaliation and revenge. They will wait as long as they have to if they don't repent and don't forgive. They don't care how long it takes. They just want to see you go down. They want to see you get to the place where you cannot function, where you cannot function. So you must be very careful. Proverbs, excuse me, Proverbs 26, verses 24 through 27 says, "He that hates dissembles with his lips and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks fear, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return unto him, upon him." With hatred, there can be the appearance of sweet talk on the surface, but with discernment, you can see the deceit. Note the seven abominations are armors surrounding the spirits that we're speaking about. And we believe that these seven abominations are the seven steps or spirits of bitterness. This is what we're talking about. Henry Wright said, "One-third of all cancers and heart attacks and 50% of all incurable diseases have hatred as a root cause." Hatred as a root cause. And once you learn these things, you will begin to pray differently, because you will know and be able to discern the spirit. I remember a woman came to the altar and asked me to pray for her. She had been diagnosed with cancer, cancer of the liver. And that's what she came to the altar for prayer. But because I had studied this, I said to her, "Sweetheart, who is it that you hate? Who do you hate?" And the woman broke down in my arms and cried at that altar. And she hated her husband. He left her. He cheated on her. He abused her. All kinds of things went wrong. And she said, "I pray that he gets killed, not just die. That would have been too easy." She wanted someone to kill him. All of this she's confessing at the altar. She came to pray, to get prayer for healing of her liver. But 50% or one-third of all cancers and heart attacks and 50% of all incurable diseases, hatred is the root cause. So that was where I prayed. That's where I prayed. Just like when Jesus healed the woman and, you know, he healed her and then told her to get up and sin no more. That she was healed, the woman, and said, you know, and sin no more. Those things are connected. It's connected together. So this is stuff that we must know in order that we may minister correctly. So the sixth level of bitterness is violence. Violence is anger and hatred in action. Violence says to you, I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to knock your lights out. I'm going to tear you apart. But once again, you have a choice to go with that or turn your back on that temptation to do that. And again, repent and forgive. Violence is not just emotional anymore. It's not just spiritual. Now it becomes physical. You can see the violence in everyday lives in families. It may take the form of striking something, throwing something, screaming. It includes physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. And this is usually generational, passed down from generation to generation. Violence is very selfish and controlling by nature. Very selfish. The seventh spirit that completes the full plan of the devil for destruction of people and their relationships out of the strong man of bitterness is murder. Murder is not just physical murder. It may be murder by the tongue, such as gossip and slander, destruction of a person's character and reputation, or meditated murder, which is murder in your heart. An example of this murder with the tongue is, I wish you were dead. I hope it kills you. You're killing me. Threatening divorce is speaking words of murder to a marriage bond. There can be murder against you, which is suicide. The spirit of murder says to you, I'm going to get rid of you and kill you or kill your reputation. Murder can be found in the heart because the conclusion of the hierarchy in the kingdom of bitterness is the elimination of the person on all levels. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thought, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. This comes out of our heart, and it starts with bitterness and spirals downward very quickly. So unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and then murder. Bitterness is the fertilizer that makes these difficulties grow. Amen. 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 Well, I definitely got it covered, y'all. I got it covered. Praise be unto God. And so, beloved, I pray that as we heard this, that you were thinking things over in your mind. I'm sure some of you were remembering some people that hurt you, that offended you. I know some of you looked and listened and said, okay, that's where I am, and that's where I am, and there I am. The thing I want you to get most out of this is to begin to repent and to forgive so that you could be set free. Repent and forgive so that you could be set free. Praise be unto God. Does anybody have any remarks or comments that they want to make before we close out for the day? Okay. Apostle, by the way, if anyone wants to, remember you have to press 1 on your keypad. And Apostle, I don't know if you're still there, but if you are, would you be kind enough, sir, to press 1 on your keypad? Because I would like it if you would pray us out today, if you are still there. Praise be unto God. So we'll give him a second to see if he is still there. And if he isn't, then we'll go ahead and pray, and we will close out for the day. And, of course, you know I welcome all of you back Thank you so much for all of you that called in. I welcome you all back next Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning from 9 until 10. We will be here. Okay. All righty. I don't see his hand raised here, so we will go ahead and pray and thank God. Okay, just one moment. Bless the Lord, beloved. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I just wanted to ask, were you going to do any of the other spirits? Are you going to continue with this next week?
For you, I will.
Okay, because you didn't give us any reference. I like to read what you're talking about. You didn't give us a reference or a book, so I was hoping that you were going to continue.
Oh, well, I did, darling. I think I did.
I missed it.
Okay, all righty. Henry Wright, and you have the book, I think, already. Henry Wright, A More Excellent Way.
A more Excellent Way. No, I don't have that one.
You don't have that one?
But I will.
I know you
will. That's why I said I heard you say Henry Wright, but I guess I missed it.
Okay.
Well, no problem.
Yes.
No problem. Empower me.
Yes, ma'am. And he has his own website, so you can go to his website or, Amazon. But, yes, but he has his own website.
Okay. Very good. Well, I truly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you so very much.
All right.
All righty. Okay, hon. Okay, anyone else before we close out? Okay. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you so very much for this day. We thank you, Father, for the lesson that has come forth. And, Lord, may we not be hearers of the word only, but that we would be doers of the word, that we will release those that have held us in bondage. I pray for deliverance, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper. May each one of us, O God, be cleansed by the power of the word. I thank you, Lord God, now that we are releasing in the spirit realm. We repent. God, I stand in the gap now, and we repent for everything, Lord God, all of the oaths, the covenants that were made with satanic forces, O Lord God, by our ancestors. Father, I repent for that in the name of Jesus. And may the spirit of salvation, healing, and deliverance, Lord, that you made accessible to us all, may we walk in it. God, heal that wounded spirit, the broken heart. Father, heal it. God, touch the mind and heal the memory of the things that we have gone through, the hurt, the pain, the violence, the molestation. Lord God, the hurt words. Father, Lord, forgive and heal in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you will complete everything that you started in us. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, beloveds, y'all take care, and we'll be back here again next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.